بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ila yawm al-qiyamah, until the day of resurrection. And in the previous lesson, we went through aspects, or we went through the belief of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah with regards to that which will occur on Yawm al-Qiyamah, such as the Mizan, the Scales of Justice, and the Sirat, the bridge over Jahannam, and the Hawd and the Qantara, and also Al-Hisab wal-Jaza, Al-Jannah wal-Nar, and the other aspects of Yawm al-Qiyamah. And in this lesson also, the author continues talking about some of the matters which occur on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and he mentions these matters because the people of innovation at that time, such as the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiya, and those who were affected by the thoughts of the philosophers, they denied these aspects of Yawm al-Qiyamah. So he said, rahimahullah, وَالشَّفَاعَةُ حَقٌّ وَأَنَّ نَاسًا مِنْ أَهْلِ التَّوْحِيدِ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ النَّارِ بِالشِّفَاعَةِ حَقٌّ وَعَذَابُ الْقَبْرِ حَقٌّ ومنكر ونكير حق والكرام الكاتبون حق والبعث من بعد الموت حق. He said, the shafa'a is true, and that people from the people of Tawheed will exit from the fire because of the shafa'a, and the punishment of the grave is true, and munkar and nakir are true. والكرام الكاتبون, and they are the angels who write and record the deeds of the people, they are true. And al-ba'ath, resurrection after death, is true. And as I mentioned, these were aspects of Yawm al-Qiyamah that the people of innovation, they disbelieved in, or they negated. So he said, وَالشَّفَاعَةُ حَقٌّ, that الشَّفَاعَة, it is true, it is real. And shafa'a, in English we translate as being intercession, meaning on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he will supplicate to Allah on behalf of certain people. This is the meaning of shafa'a. And also, the righteous people will intercede on behalf of other people in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also children, righteous children who were given a good tarbiyah, they will intercede in front of Allah on behalf of their parents. Meaning they will supplicate to Allah on behalf of their parents. And this is meant. This is what is meant by shafa'a. In the Arabic language, the word ash-shafa'a is from ash-shaf'a. And the meaning of shaf'a is even. So as we have odd and even numbers, al-witr is an odd number, like 1, 3, 5, 7. And ash-shaf'a is an even number, 2, 4, 6, and so on and so forth. So what's the relationship between ash-shafa'a, intercession, going back to an even number, and between the opposite, al-witr, which is an odd number? And the ulama, they mention that the meaning of ash-shafa'a in the Arabic language is أَنْ تَضُمَّ صَوْتَكَ إِلَى صَوْتِ الطَّالِبِ فَيَكُونُ شَيْ شَفْعًا بَعْدًا كَانَ وِتْرًا. And that is that the meaning of shafa'a in the Arabic language is to lend your voice to a person who is seeking as well. Meaning initially you had one person, and this person, he's seeking something. So he's with her, he's odd now because he is a one person. When you also join him and your voice joins his voice in seeking on behalf of him, then now you become two. And this is why ash-shafa'a is called ash-shafa'a. That instead of him being alone, when he was one, he was an odd number, and his seeking and his dua was one, Now because you have joined with him, there's two of you, so you have become an even number. And this is mentioned by Shaykh Rajihi in his At-Tafsir. And there are, and Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they affirm the Shafa'ah. Whether it is the Shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which will take place in Yawm al-Qiyamah, or the Shafa'ah of the righteous and the children and the angels, then Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they affirm this. However, the difference between Ahlul Sunnah and the people of innovation is that we believe this Shafa'ah will be for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. On the day of resurrection, it will occur. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The people of innovation, from amongst them Ahlul Sufiyyah and others, they believe that some of this shafa'ah is now, and also they address the people in the grave, they speak to the Prophet asking him for his shafa'ah. And take a qa'id as a general principle. Any time somebody addresses a deceased person, whatever the excuse is, then it is shirk akbar. So even if a person says, but I am not asking the wali in the grave that he's going to help me, I am asking him that he asks Allah on my behalf, then it becomes shirk akbar straight away. And this is a general principle. Anytime a person in the grave is addressed, or a person who cannot hear you is addressed, for example, the person could be far away in a different country, and a person calls out to him, oh Fulan, save me, oh Sheikh, save me, then this becomes shirk akbar straight away. And if a person addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's at the side of the grave, or he's saying, I'm addressing Allah by the intercession of Fulan, but he's addressing Allah, then this is either shirkun asghar, or it is, we can say it is a bid'ah, or we can say it is shirkun asghar. So the difference between whether this action is shirk akbar or shirk asghar is, who is the person addressing? Who is he talking to? If he's talking to the person in the grave, if he's talking to the wali who is far, very far away, then this is shirkun akbar. And if he's addressing Allah, but he's saying, oh Allah, I ask you bi haqqin nabi, by the right of the Prophet, I ask you by the status of the Prophet. Or he goes to a graveyard and he makes dua to Allah, but he believes that me making dua to Allah in this place, it has a special virtue or a special status, then this is shirkun asghar, and we can say it is bid'ah. And there are different types of shafa'ah that are affirmed in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. 6 or 7 types. The first of them is ash-shafa'atul uzma, the great shafa'ah. Ash-shafa'atul uzma. And ash-shafa'atul uzma is when, after resurrection, when everybody will be resurrected and they will stand around waiting for the accountability to happen. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us how the sun will be brought very close to people, and people will be drowning, people will be in a state of severe difficulty. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will plead on behalf of Allah for the hisab to begin, for the accountability of the people to begin. And that the people of Jannah are taken towards Jannah, and the people of fire are taken towards it. And this is called ash-shafa'ah al-uzma, the great shafa'ah. And this type of shafa'ah, shafa'atul uzma, the great shafa'ah, this is only for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is unique for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even the other prophets and messengers will not have a share in ash-shafa'atul uzma, the great shafa'ah. And in this is a lengthy hadith, a famous hadith. It is known as Hadith al-Shafa'ah, the hadith of al-Shafa'ah. And this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari in Kitab al-Tawheed. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned how all of the people would be gathered together. And then the believers, and of course this situation will be very difficult because of the heat and the severity and the standing and the state of the people. So the believers will go to various prophets and messengers, saying to them, seek intercession on our behalf in front of our Lord, so we can begin, so we can be moved from this place. So they will go to Adam alayhi salam. He's the first prophet they will go to. And they will say, Ya Adam, O Adam, Ama tara an-nasa khalaqaka Allahu biyadihi, that the people, they hold you dear because Allah created you with His own hands. Wa asjada lakal malaika, and he made the angels make sujood in front of you. وَعَلَّمَكَ أَسْمَاءَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ And he taught you the names of everything. اِشْفَعْ لَنَا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا حَتَّى يُرِيحَنَا مِنْ مَكَانِنَا هَذَا So make shafa'ah for us, intercede on our behalf, so Allah removes us and gives us some respite from this place. And Adam alayhi salam will say, لَسْتُ هُنَاكَ This isn't for me. I don't have the ability to do so. He will say, and then he will mention his sin. He will say, I cannot intercede on your behalf because of the sin which I committed. So he will say, وَلَكِنْ اِئْتُوا نُوحًا But go to Nuh. فَإِنَّهُ أَوَّلُ رَسُولٍ بَعَثَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ Because he is the first messenger who was sent to the people of the earth. And then the believers will go to Nuh alayhi salam. And this, Allahu A'lam, it is the believers from the beginning of time to the end of time. So it isn't specific to just our ummah, but the beginners from the believers till the end. So they will come to Nuh alayhi salam, and they will say to him again, Ya Nuh, O Nuh, you were the first messenger who was sent to the people of the earth. Ishfa' lana, so go to Allah and intercede on our behalf that he removes us from this difficulty. And he will also say, Lestu hunakum, that I cannot help you, this is not for me. And he will mention a mistake or something which he fell into. And then he will say, وَلَكِنِئْتُ إِبْرَاهِيمْ خَلِيلَ الرَّحْمَنِ But go to Ibrahim, because Ibrahim is Khalilur Rahman. He is the most beloved friend of the most merciful. So then they will come to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they will say the same thing to him. اِشْفَعْ لَنَا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا حَتَّى يُرِيحَنَا مِنْ مَكَانِنَا هَذَا They will say to him, seek intercession, make shafa'ah in front of Allah on our behalf, so he can remove us from this difficulty. And he will say, لَسْتُ هُنَاكُمْ That I am not for you, I am not for this. And he will also mention some things that he fell into. And then he will say, وَلَكِنِئْتُ مُوسَى But go to Musa alayhi salam. He will make shafa'ah for you. He will say, عَبْدًا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ تَوْرَىٰ وَكَلَّمَهُ تَكْلِيمًا He is the slave of Allah to whom Allah gave the Torah. And he is the one to whom Allah spoke to. So then they will go to him. And they will say the same thing. And he will say, لَسْتُ هُنَاكُمْ I'm not able to do this. I am not for you. And he will mention some things that he fell into. And he will say, وَلَكِنِئْتُ عِيسَى But go to Isa. Abdullah wa Rasuluh. He is the worship of Allah. He is the messenger of Allah. وَكَلِمَتُهُ وَالرُّوحُ And he is the word of Allah. And he is the soul which was created by Allah. So then they will go to Isa alayhi salam. And they will ask him to make this intercession. And he will say, لَسْتُ هُنَاكُمْ I cannot help you here. This isn't for me. Then he will say, وَلَكِنِئْتُ Muhammad. But go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عَبْدًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ Because he is a person whose previous mistakes and future mistakes have already been forgiven. So then all of them will come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he will seek permission from his Lord. And he will fall into prostration, into a sujood. And in one of the hadith, he will fall into a sujood under the arsh of the most merciful Azza wa Jal. And then he will make hamd of Allah. He will praise Allah with so many praises and so many praises. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, Ya Muhammad, irfa' ra'asak. O Muhammad, raise your head. Qul wa yusma' And say and you will be heard. Wasal wa tu'ta. Ask and you will be given. Washfa' tu shaffa' And seek your intercession, and your intercession will be answered. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make this great intercession called Ash-Shafa'atul Uzma on behalf of all of the believers, that they are relieved from this place and they go towards the next stage. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you notice from this, he will not begin his Shafa'ah without seeking permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah gives permission to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, only then will he be able to answer the shafa'ah. For this reason, the ulama, they mentioned two conditions for shafa'ah and why a person will be allowed to make shafa'ah. The two conditions are, firstly, the permission of Allah. Allah will give permission for shafa'ah to be done. Without his permission, there is no shafa'ah. Like Allah said in the ayah which all of you memorized, Ayatul Kursi, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ Who is it who can seek intercession with him without his permission? So the first condition is that the permission of Allah has to be granted even to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second condition is that those people on behalf of whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will seek shafa'ah, may Allah make it from them, are those people whom Allah will be pleased with. Meaning there will be people of iman, people of tawheed, but who fell into sins, into major sins, into minor sins, into mistakes, oppression amongst each other, but they have to be people of at-tawheed. And that's why Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنِ ارْتَضَى, that they will not seek intercession except for those people whom Allah is pleased with. This is the second condition. And why is the shafa'ah given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? As an honor for him. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he makes his shafa'ah, and the angel and the angels and the righteous and the ulama and the children, when they make shafa'ah, this will be so Allah is honoring them with a shafa'ah. And this shafa'atul uzma, this great shafa'ah, this is al-maqam al-mahmood. Every time in the dua of after al-adhan, we say wab'athu maqaman mahmooda, and give him al-maqam al-mahmood. Al-maqam al-mahmood will be that status and place in front of Allah in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will have the unique shafa'ah called al-shafa'atul uzma. And Allah said in the Quran, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Allah said, and in the night to the Prophet ﷺ, pray your tahajjud nawafil, and Allah will give you maqaman mahmuda, the praiseworthy place, i.e. the ability to do a shafa'at al-uzma. So this is the first shafa'ah. The second type of shafa'ah will be the shafa'ah for the people of Jannah to enter into Jannah. And this is also specific to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So shafa'at al-uzma, no other messenger will have it except our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is an honor for this ummah. And the second shafa'ah is, in entering Jannah, nobody will be able to enter Jannah until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam intercedes on behalf of people in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the doors of Jannah to be open. And he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, ana awwalu shafi'in fil Jannah, I am the first of those who will intercede in Jannah, meaning to enter Jannah. Lam yusaddiq nabiyyun min al-anbiya ma suddiqtu. He said there's never been a prophet from the other prophets who was believed in as much as I was believed in. Wa inna min al-anbiya'i nabiyyan ma yusaddiquhu min ummatihi illa rajulun wahidun. He said, and there will be prophets from the previous prophets, or there will be a prophet from the previous prophets, nobody believed in him from his ummah except a single person. And this we find in a number of hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, on yawm al-qiyamah there will be a prophet wa ma'ahu ar-rahd, and this prophet, he will have a small group of people with him. Wa nabiyyun laysa ma'ahu illa rajulun wa rajulaini, and then there will be another prophet and he will only have one or two people with him who believed in him from his ummah. Wa nabiyyun laysa ma'ahu ahad, and there will also be a prophet, nobody from his ummah believed in him. And this, my brothers, is also offers tranquility to those people who give da'wah and to those who teach and those who call others, that even if nobody responds or a small group responds or people don't attend, listen to your advice, attend your lessons, or only small people do, then before us were great prophets who were aided with signs and miracles and the help of Allah, and yet some of them, a few people believed, and some of them, two or three people believed, and some of them, one person believed, and some of them, not even a single person believed. And from the great prophets who came before, are those whose father disbelieved in them, like Ibrahim alayhi salam, and others whose wife and son disbelieved in them, like Nuh alayhi salam, and others whose closest uncles disbelieved in them, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the third type of shafa'ah, which is also exclusive to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is when he will intercede on behalf of his uncle Abu Talib, who was a kafir and died upon kufr and shirk, that Allah relieves some of his punishment. So he is deserving of punishment and he will be punished, but because of how much he used to help the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and how much he used to intercede with the kuffar on behalf of the Prophet ﷺ, that they don't harm him and they don't punish him too much. For this reason, the Prophet ﷺ will intercede for on his behalf, that his punishment it is lessened and not removed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Lawla ana lakana fi ad-darkil asfali min an-nar." He said, had it not been for me, meaning had it not been for my shafa'a and me interceding with Allah on behalf of him, then he would have been in the lowest depths of the fire. Also, so these types of shafa'a are specific to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, unique to him and not even any of the Prophet messenger. Ash-shafa'atul uzma, the great shafa'a, which will be in the mawqif for the believers to be relieved from their position. And then the shafa'a to enter into Jannah. So nobody will enter into Jannah except through the shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then thirdly, his shafa'a for his uncle, for his punishment to be relieved and not removed completely. Then we come to the fourth shafa'a. And this shafa'a is shared between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and others. Other righteous people, other prophets, their angels, they will also make shafa'a on behalf of the believers, the young children, as I mentioned. And this is that those people from the people of Tawheed who had sins with them and they are deserving to enter into the fire, others will make shafa'a on behalf of them so Allah does not enter them into the fire. This is one type of shafa'a. And then there is another shafa'a that from the believers who have entered into the fire because of their sins, others will make shafa'a with Allah on behalf of them for them to be removed from the fire and then enter into Jannah. And then there will be other types of shafa'a that those who are in a lower level of the fire from the people of Iman and Tawheed but who had sins with them, that Allah relieves and lessens their punishment. And then there is also another shafa'a, and that is for those people who are in Jannah and perhaps they are in a lower rank of Jannah for their ranks to be increased. And there is also another type of shafa'a, and that will be for those people whose bad deeds are equal to their good deeds. We know that on the scales of resurrection, those whose good deeds outweigh their bad deeds, like Allah said, وَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. He whose scales of good deeds are heavier than the bad deeds, then he will be in a pleasurable good life. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيًا. As for the one whose good deeds is light and his heavy deeds are weightier on the scales of justice, then he will go towards the fire. There's another group of people, and they are those people whose good deeds and bad deeds after the minimum of Tawheed, they are equal. So what will be their situation? And they will be, Wallahu A'lam, and Uthman, you asked last week, they will be Ashabul A'raf. They will be the people of Al-A'raf. And Al-A'raf is a barrier, a hijab, a screen between Jannah and Jahannam, such that the people of Jannah, they're not able to see the people of Jahannam. And some of the Sahaba, like Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma, they mentioned that Al-A'raf will be a very high wall. And there will be people not in the fire and not in the in paradise. And they will be those people whose bad deeds and good deeds are equal. And then, because of the shafa'a of the people of Jannah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow them to enter into Jannah. And this, as I mentioned, was mentioned by Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma, amongst others. Now, these are the different types of shafa'a that we believe in. Three of them are unique and exclusive to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam: ash-shafa'atul uzma, dukhulul jannah, entering into Jannah, and ash-shafa'a li Abi Talib. And then the other types of shafa'a which we mentioned are shared between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and other righteous people. The Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, both of them, the classic Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, both of them negated ash-shafa'a. And the reason why they negated shafa'a is they believe that a person who commits a major sin is a disbeliever. And that's why the Khawarij was known as the Khawarij. Because any Muslim who commits a major sin, like stealing or drinking alcohol or zina or murder, then they believe that he is a kafir. And on the day of resurrection, he will enter into the fire. So if they've ruled on them that they're going to enter into the fire, then of course there is no shafa'ah for anybody. Why? Because those people are going to enter into the fire. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said in a hadith, "Ash-shafa'atu li ahli al-kaba'ir min ummati." He said the shafa'ah will be for the people of major sins from my ummah. They will have sins with them, and then intercession will be done on their behalf. And in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when Abu Hurairah asked him, "Man as'adu an-nas bi shafa'atik yawm al-qiyamah?" Who are the people who will be deserving of a shafa'ah on yawm al-qiyamah? Who will rejoice with your shafa'ah on yawm al-qiyamah? He said, "Man qala la ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbihi." Whoever said la ilaha illallah with sincerity from his heart. The Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, obviously they use certain evidences, either logical evidences or evidences from the Qur'an. So they said, for example, the saying of Allah Surah Ghafir, "Ma lil-zalimina min hamimin wala shafi'in yuta'." Allah said that the zalimun, the people of oppression, they will not have a hamim. A hamim is a close friend. Wala shafi'. And they will have nobody who will intercede on their behalf, yuta', and his intercession will be accepted. So they took this ayah, ignored all of the other ayat, which is the way of the people of innovation. The difference between Ahlul Sunnah and the difference between the people of innovation is that the people of innovation, they take either the mutashabihat, either ambiguous evidences, a story or a dream or a weak hadith, and they leave the muhkamat, they leave those hadith and ayat which are very, very clear. So they might have, for example, one evidence with them which is ambiguous in meaning. Possibly means this, and it means this. In opposition to this, they might have, there might be 20 other evidences which are clear in the meaning. They will leave all of them and they will grab hold to this ambiguous evidence. This is one of the ways which they operate. Or the other way is that they take some of the Quran and they leave the rest of the Quran. So here the Khawarij, they took this ayah, "Ma lil-zalimina min hamimin wala shafi'in yuta'." The zalimun in Surah Ghafir, the people of Dhulm, they will not have a close friend, neither will they have an interceder who will be obeyed in his intercession. And they abandoned all of those other ayat and ahadith which we have mentioned. The greatest of them is the saying of Allah, "Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha." Allah does not forgive for shirk to be performed, but He forgives anything which is less than this from whoever He wills. What is less than shirk? Stealing and drinking and adultery and murder and backbiting and so on and so forth. And this ayah, always we have to take all of the evidences together and then we make jam' between the evidences. Then we reconcile between the evidences. So the meaning of this ayah is clear. "Ma lil-zalimina," that the oppressors, meaning the kuffar. The kuffar, those who oppress themselves with kufr, they will not have a close friend, no, anybody who will seek intercession on behalf of them. And this is also from the way of the Khawarij, that they take ayat which relate to the kuffar and then they apply them upon the people of al-Islam. So as I mentioned, these are the types of ash-shafa'ah. Then after this, he said, "وَعَذَابُ الْقَبْرِ حَقٌّ وَمُنْكَرٌ وَنَكِيرٌ حَقٌّ." That the punishment of the grave, it is real and true. Meaning, Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they believe that the punishment which we'll take in the grave, and this is the barzakh, because there are three stages of life. There is the dunya, and this is what we are living now. Then there is the barzakh, and the barzakh is everything after death up until Qiyam al-Sa'ah. And then there is Al-Akhirah, Al-Jannah wal-Nar. In Barzakh, there are ayat and ahadith which talk about and which tell us that people will be rewarded and punished or punished in the grave. And Ahlul Sunnah believe that this reward and this punishment on the grave, it is real and it is upon the soul and upon the body. Ala ruh wal-jasad. The soul will be either punished or rewarded, and also the physical body of a person will be punished and rewarded. And this is from the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It is from Ilm al-Ghayb. It is from the matters of the unseen. Regardless of what happens to the body of a person, this will occur in reality. So whether a person drowned in the sea, whether the body of a person was eaten by vultures, whether a person was buried and his body is then exhumed and then it is decayed, but we believe because it is from Ilm al-Ghayb that this will occur as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us. And if a person said, I believe in everything about Islam except this bit, I don't believe that the grave of a person is going to be expanded and the grave of a sinner is going to be restricted and tightened. Why? Because we've opened graves, we've exhumed them, we've seen none of this. First of all, this person has left the fold of Al-Islam. Why? Because he's disbelieved in something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly mentioned and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. Secondly, the statement of this person, it is totally illogic. He says, I believe in everything about Al-Islam, but I disbelieve in this aspect. So you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you believe that Allah used to send an angel from the heavens all the way down to the earth to give revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you're going to believe in that, then what causes you to not believe in this? Because it is the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has informed you of everything, and it is the same Allah who is informing you of this. And for this reason, this is from a yaqeen in iman. This is from the strength of al-iman. And this shows the virtue of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When al-Isra wal-Mi'raj happened, that the Prophet ﷺ at night, in a single night, he was taken from Mecca and he was taken all the way to Masjid al-Aqsa. And then he was taken from Masjid al-Aqsa to the heavens and then he was brought back in a single night. To us, we're 2017 in the era of aeroplanes and traveling which is quick and it's imaginable. We now understand, yes, a person can easily go to the other side of the world within a single night. It's not a problem. But you have to remember at that time when there was nothing, no technology, there was nothing at all. So, of course, the kuffar and the munafiqun and the mushrikun, they started mocking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they went to the companions. And they went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And they used to say, have you not heard ma yaqulu sahibuk? Have you not heard what your companion is now claiming? He's claiming that in a single night, when everybody was in their beds, he's been taken to Jerusalem and then to the heavens, and now he's been brought back here. Abu Bakr, and this is why he's called As-Siddiq, because the meaning of As-Siddiq is the one who affirmed, the one who believed. Because this is the place in which when others were doubting and others were mocking, he stood firm. He said, how can I not believe in this when I believe in that which is much greater than this? I believe that Allah sends an angel from the heavens and brings revelation to him. So what's more difficult to believe? If something was difficult to believe, then what is it? That Allah took him from one place on the earth to another place on the earth, or the fact that Allah sends an angel from the heavens and brings him revelation from the skies? So if a person believes in that, then everything which comes after that, then it is easy to believe in. The point is, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they believe that the punishment of the grave is real. It is upon the body and it is upon the soul. Whereas the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiya and others amongst Ahlul Bid'ah, they disbelieved in it. Either they said that the punishment and the reward of the grave is upon the ruh and not upon the body, or they totally disbelieved in it. Now, and there are many hadith and ayat which prove this. We've mentioned previously, like the famous hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, in which the story of how a person dies and how the soul of the righteous is taken, how the soul of the disobedient is taken, how the one who is in his grave, he's shown his place from Jannah, and the one who's in his grave from the disbelievers is shown his place in the fire, how the grave is expanded for the person of obedience, how the grave is restricted for the person of disobedience, and other hadith. Also he said, after وَالْعَذَابُ حَقُّ وَعَذَابُ الْقَبْرِ حَقُّ, he said, وَمُنْكَرْ وَنَكِيرْ حَقُّ والكرام الكاتبين كاتبون حق. That Munkar and Nakir, and they are the two angels who will ask the questions on Yawm al-Qiyamah in the grave. That they will come to a person in the grave, and they will, in reality, they will ask the person the questions. And also, he said, وَالْكِرَامُ الْكَاتِبِينَ حَقٍ. And also the noble writers, those who record the deeds of the people, the good and the bad, they are also real and true. And this is al-Iman bil Malaika. This is Iman in the angels of Allah. Who are the Malaika? Al-Malaika عَالَمٌ غَيْبِ. They are a creation from the unseen. خَلَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِن نُور. Allah created them from light. لا يعصون الله. They do not disobey Allah. ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. And they obey Allah in everything which they have been ordered to do. أهل السنة believe لهم قلوب ولهم أجساد ولهم أجنحة. They have hearts and they have wings and they have bodies, and we believe in each specific angel who we have been taught about, and we believe in the angels in general. And they have been made out of light. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, خُلِقَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مِن نُور. The angels were created from light. وَخُلِقَ الْجَانُ مِن مَارِجٍ مِن نَار. And the jinn were created from smokeless fire. وَخُلِقَ آدَم مِمَّا وُصِفَ لَكُمْ. And Adam has been created from that which you have been described with, i.e. clay and water. And there are different types of angels. So from the angels are Al-Kiram Al-Katibun, the two noble angels who write the deeds of a person. Like Allah said in the Quran, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِذِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. With you are angels who record everything, كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ, and they write. So there's one on the right who writes the good deeds, and there's one on the left who writes the bad deeds. Also, from the information that has come to us with regards to the angels, are the two angels who are sent to protect a person until death comes to him. And that is the angel who is in front of him and the angel who is behind him. Every single person has four angels with them. An angel on the right who writes the good deeds, an angel on the left who records the bad deeds, and an angel in front and behind who protect him until the command of Allah comes for death. And also every person has with him a qareen, and a qareen is like a partner from the jinn who is with him and sometimes entices him to do evil. Also from amongst the angels are those, that angel who comes to into the when the child is in the womb of his mother and blows into him his soul, as is in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. From the angels are those who have been sent to protect the mountains. From the angels are those who have been entrusted with Jannah and preparing it for the people. And as for the narration that the name of the angel who guards Jannah is called Ridwan, then Allah knows best whether this is authentic or not. Also there is the angel who is the doorkeeper, the gatekeeper for Jahannam. And he's called Malik. He is the angel or the gatekeeper of Jahannam. And also, there is the angel who has been entrusted with rain. And the angel who has been entrusted with the growing of the crops. And the angel who has been entrusted with the stars. And there are other angels, for example, who will carry the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we mentioned in previous lessons. Like Allah said, وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٍ. That on that day, eight angels will come carrying the arsh of your Lord. There are other angels, 70,000 angels, who visit al-Bayt al-Ma'mur, and that is that place above the seven heavens in which 70 angels come every single day, and they make sujood in front of Allah, and then they go, and then 70,000 come the next day, and those never come back. There are other angels who fill the heavens and the skies with sujood of Allah and dhikr of Allah, and like this. And Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they have to believe in all of the angels. Whoever disbelieves in a single angel or disbelieves in al-Iman bil Malaika has left the fold of al-Islam, because this is from one of the six pillars of al-Iman. From the people of innovation are those like the philosopher, and they said that the angels are not real. We don't believe that there is anything which exists which are angels. But they said that angels, it's just a symbolic meaning which symbolizes goodness. And shayateen are not real. It's just like a symbolic figure to symbolize evil. And this is what they believed in. So that conscience of yours which tells you to do good deeds, this is what is intended by angels. And that inside you which entices you towards bad deeds, this is a shaitan, just a symbolic force, nothing real, which entices people to do evil. And then finally, he said, وَالْبَعْثُ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْمَوْتِ حَقِّ. And also the resurrection after death, it is real and true. And this is the meaning of al-ba'ath. When we say al-imanu bil-ba'athi ba'd al-maut, i.e. the people who will be in their graves, they will be resurrected and given life again to go through the process which will occur on Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is something which the Quraysh used to disbelieve in. And they said, Allah said, زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّنْ يُبْعَثُوا. The people of Kufr, i.e. the Quraysh, the Mushrikun, they used to claim that they will not be resurrected. Allah said, قُلْ بَلَا وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُنَّ. Say, O Muhammad, replied to them, by Allah, you will be resurrected. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَأْتِينَ السَّاعَةَ. And the people of disbelief, the mushrikun at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they say, the hour will not come to us. Allah said, قُلْ بَلَا وَرَبِّي لَتَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ. Say, no, verily by Allah, it will come to you. And like this. So, and when the people are resurrected on Yawm al-Qiyamah, we mentioned previously how there will be two horns which are blown, or trumpets which are blown. The first trumpet will be to give death to everybody who is in the earth. And then the second trumpet will be blown in order for everybody who has now died to be resurrected. And this is called Nafkh al-Sur. Al-Sur are the trumpets, and Nafkh means blowing into it. And we believe that when people are resurrected, they will be resurrected, they will be barefooted, and they will not be clothed, meaning they will be naked, and they will be uncircumcised. This is how it came in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ حُفَاتًا عُرَاتًا غُرْلًا. The people will be resurrected on Yawm al-Qiyamah, حُفَاتًا, meaning not wearing anything, they will be barefooted. عُرَاتًا, naked, not wearing clothes. غُرْلًا, and they will be uncircumcised. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the question which will come to the mind of every single person. She said, Ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, An-Nisa wal-Rijal jami'an yanduru ba'duhum ila ba'd. She said, men and women, all of them together in the same place, in this state, looking at each other. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Aisha, al-amru ashaddu min an yanzura ba'duhum ila ba'd. He said, oh Aisha, the situation will be so severe that people will not be able to even look at each other. This is how severe the situation will be. And in some of the narrations it is mentioned that in the mawqif, when the people are gathered in this state after resurrection, all of them will be looking at the skies. They will not be able to look at each other. And this is something which is very understandable, because even in this dunya, sometimes you are so shocked by something, that person who is in front of you, it's as if you haven't seen him. You're so shocked that somebody, he might even come to you and give salam, and you don't remember afterwards, did I see you? Did you give me salam? You know, I was so distracted by something else. How many times, for example, somebody passed by you, even in a car? Sometimes it happens to me, like in the masjid, I say, oh, I didn't see you at the Jummah. I said, I came and I gave salam to you, you didn't see me in Jummah. So if this can occur in this dunya, when you're startled by something or you're distracted by something, then on Yawm al-Qiyamah, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Aisha, al-amru ashaddu min dhalik. The affair will be much more serious. In the conference in Manchester, Sheikh Khalid Mushayqi, from one of the benefits that we took from him, is he mentioned the belief of the Jahmiyyah when it came to al-ba'ath ba'd al-maut. And the leader of the Jahmiyyah was somebody called Jahm ibn Safwan. And he had a statement which was khabith, a very, you know, bad statement when it comes to the belief of al-Ba'ath. And he said that everybody who is upon this earth, Allah will totally destroy them. So everybody who exists right now, there will be no Ba'ath upon them. And then Allah will create a new group of people, meaning Allah will create bodies, and upon these bodies, the Ba'ath will take place, and upon these bodies will be Jannah and Jahannam. As for everybody who exists now, Allah will totally destroy them and He will never resurrect them. And then He opened the door for the philosophers who came afterwards, like Ibn Sina, who said that there is no more Ba'ath, there is no resurrection. Jahm ibn Safwan and Shaykh Khalid, he said, Rajulun khabith, ja'a bi qawlin khabith. A khabith man who came with a khabith opinion. He said, yes, there is a Ba'ath, but not upon real people. Allah will destroy real people, then He will give life, He will just create bodies, and the Ba'ath will be upon them. After him, Ibn Sina and the other philosophers came, and because of that, they then totally disbelieved in al-Ba'ath wal-Iyadu Billah. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.